So good morning, everyone. Always Sunday been a challenging day because, you know, kind of the one day you get a holiday and you want to sleep well, and that's the time where you have to get up and it's church time. yeah, hope that we are praying as well and we are hearing as well this morning. And with that note, you know, Suraj shared something prophetically this morning, is that, you know, it is not about who we are. And it's about what God says, or God, who God is, or God, who God says we are. With that note, this morning, just going to bring something called as on identity. Okay, something called as identity. So I would definitely say that, you know, everyone here has some identity of yourself, and something which kind of like defines you. And it can be something about your job, something about the good thing which you have done. So something which is there, which is defining you. So maybe you can think about what defines you. I'll just give you a minute where you can think about something which is defines you or defining you at this moment. Who are you? Maybe, you know, you are a person who does things well, you are an excellent student, or you are a guy or a person who works well, or like you does cooking well, or you are a good parent, you are a good husband, you are a good wife. What is it defines you? Something good, how we are known. Okay, so, you know, we all have our own identity. And we define ourselves through our jobs, our financial status, success, grades, you know, our appearance. And that is something we define ourselves. And there are other means where people sitting next to you or people who know you may define you as well. You know, we define ourselves and we feel that this is what we are. And there are others who define us, okay? And this morning, it's good to know that, you know, what defines you, because that will give you a clear indication about who you are this morning. And why I'm sharing this is, this morning I felt like, you know, there are a lot of identity crises, you know, which go through in our lives. You know, there are identity crises in families, identity crises at homes, you know, students face identity crisis. Where if someone has done well, they have been recognized well in their homes. And someone who has not done well, he has not recognized. Someone who does well in the office, you know, everyone talks about that person. Someone who has not done well, you know, they all say that this person is not good. There's somewhere something, you know, defines our identity. And, you know, last few months, like if you're working in a corporate setup, it's a month where you have to discover who you are. You know, it's called as inclusion, where, you know, you have to mention about, you know, what kind of gender identity, you know, you have. So that it's a kind of an inclusion where there is a crisis of identity. People know who they are and they ask us to define our identity so that it is very clear. Some people take pride on their identity. Some people don't take pride of their identity. You take pride of your identity if, you know, everything is going well. You take pride of your identity and means I'm a, you know, competitor. You know, I do really well. But if you have not done well and if you have certain setbacks in life, you become a kind of a, you know, a person whom you always feel like, or you have a low self-esteem because you feel that you are not part of anyone. So there is a crisis which kind of like, you know, goes around. And we all work, you know, I would say we all work to define our identity in one way or another. As a parent, we want to be a good parent for our children. You know, as husbands and wife, we want to be good to each other. As children, we want to be good to our parents. At our work, we want to be good to our bosses. And we strive our best to get that reputation. And try to get, you know, that identity from the other person where we feel it is secure. But what if there are times if you have not been recognized? What if we have been called as failures, where you have not achieved what you have supposed to achieve? What if you have scored less marks in your exams? What if, you know, there are issues in your families? So there are crises which we kind of like, you know, there's a huge crisis, and we struggle, and we want to resolve that crisis, and we manipulate our identity so that we fit in boxes, so that we are recognized by ourselves that we are, you know, we are reaching at the top, and we also been recognized by other people that this person has a good identity. And we all strive, such as called identity, because it defines us in many ways. You know, when we have an Aadhaar card, it defines us. It's a unique identification. So we also strive our best so that people define us uniquely. And so that we have that reputation, status, and success. Not only we strive to define our identity uniquely, we also strive to get approval from others. So it is a question mark which always comes to us. Who am I? You know, if you are playing multiple roles, that itself is a huge crisis. And we want to get approval from people. You know, we may, for example, we may think that we are a good parent, but we want approval from people where people say that, no, this guy is a good parent, or this family, their parenting is good. So we want to have approval. It's like you select a product from from an e-commerce website. You look at the product, look at the cost, and what else do you look at after that? You go to the reviews and see what people have said about this. So it is not about your choice, where you want to, you like it, you are ready to pay for it, but you are very much interested in knowing what others talk about that product. And knowingly, unknowingly, you know, it becomes our lifestyle to us, and we kind of try, if we are not fitting, and if there is something which is not defining us, we try to manipulate that. And we try to strive towards that so that we have some identity in our society, some identity in our family, some identity in our church. This morning, you know, we are going to look at what is my identity in Christ. Okay, when Christ looks at me this morning, how he looks at me. So this morning, when initially we looked at what is your identity, you know, what does you feel defines you? And the next question is, this morning, what does Christ define you? Or when Christ looks at you, what is your identity? Let's take a minute and just kind of like take hold of this moment to know, if Christ looks at us this morning, what is my identity? Okay. And we looked at what we think about others, we think about ourselves, and now we looked at kind of what God thinks about myself. We're sitting here, we're worshiping, we have been called sons and daughters of God, child of God, and what does God look at me, and what he calls me, and what is the identity which I have in Christ? And now, many times, we try to manipulate this identity or try to build our identity by our own, because we want to be unique, because we want to be accepted, we want to please ourselves. You know, sometimes we motivate ourselves, you know, maybe you are playing a very bad you are a very bad footballer, but you want to motivate yourself. No, I am a good footballer, because you want that identity in your team. An identity from others that you are a really, you know, you want to be called a good person. Sometimes we motivate ourselves, in a wrong way to change our identity. Sometimes we want to change our identity so that people will accept me. So there is a crisis, you know, we see where we all go through, where we want to become something which we are not. So tell me, any time have you wanted to become something which you are not? Yes, we all have tried and we all have fallen prey for that, where we've tried to fit in a group or fit in something which we are not, and we wanted to become like them or being accepted, so there was an identity crisis. This morning we are going to look at the scriptures, and there's a crisis where we pretend what we are not. Okay? We pretend what we are not. There's a famous story in the scriptures where it talks about this incident. It's Genesis 27, verse 14 to 19. It's the story of Jacob and Esau. And we'll read this. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food, just as the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and smooth part of his neck with the goat skin. Then she handed to her son Jacob, and the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." And we also tend to be kind of pretend something who we are not. There's a huge identity crisis we see. He wanted to pretend something which he was not. And he tried his best way. Appearance. He changed his appearance. He changed his style of clothing. And he tried to be very similar like his brother Esau. What did he do? He changed because there was a pressure. And he wanted to become like someone so that he can get that blessing. He changed his way of doing things. He was not supposed to do that. He changed his costume. He changed the similarities which his brother had just to get some approval from someone. You know, and we all try to get into that. And we want, kind of many times, knowingly, unknowingly, we are deceiving someone and we are deceiving others. He pretended to be Esau, but deep down in his heart, he knew who he was. And also, God knew who he was. And strangely, you know, there's another verse. If you have your Bible, you can turn that to Genesis 32, verse 26 to 28. Genesis 32, verse 26 to 28. If someone can read it louder. Yes, in verse 27, and there's a Lord, God meets him, and he asks him, "What is your name?" And what did he answer? He answered, "My name is Jacob." He did not say, "My name is Esau." You know, what I want to just bring this morning is, God wants us to be who we are, the way we are. Not something else, not someone else. We need to be secure in his identity. The day we are not secure in his identity, then there is crisis. And then we try to put a shell, we try to put a mask, and we try to pretend ourselves and fool others, saying that, you know, this is what I am. But deep inside our heart, we know who we are. And God knows who you are. That is the question directly asked. It is the Lord asking him the question, what is your name? Don't you think he did not know his name? He knew his name. But what did he do before this is he became someone else. So we need to be secure of our identity. Maybe good, we are good or we are bad, but we need to be secure of who you are. Our approval, our identity should come from God, not something which we define ourselves. Because of a lot of our failures, we define ourselves as failures. Because of a lot of our setbacks, we define ourselves that, you know, I am worth, not worth of it. And we define ourselves and people define ourselves. And we allow that to happen. But God comes and asks you, what is your name? And he wants us to be what we are. If we are messing up things in lives, and this morning God is speaking to us, God is very much pleased the way you are, the way I am. You know, I may not have a good position, God is pleased. I may have done things, you know, which is kind of, you know, disappointed others. There is forgiveness from God. And he is okay with it. But when we try to defend ourselves, we try to showcase ourselves that everything is okay. But deep down in our hearts, we know who we are. And God knows who you are. And this morning, God is calling our name. What is your name? Who you are. And that's the best way for us to reply this morning. And not to pretend of what we are not, but to pretend, you know, what God calls us. And we see this, you know, after this, how God blessed Jacob. So we may pretend that there is everything is okay, but the problem arises where there is something critical help needed. Where we don't come up. We don't share. We are just keeping it aside because we feel that it's okay. If someone knows this, what will happen? Whether it is setbacks, whether it is issues, whether it is failures, we pretend that everything is good. But actually, things are worse. And God wants us this morning that come the way you are. And it is a critical point in our lives. And it's a serious crisis which you are going through. You know, that help is needed from God and from his people. Who are you in Christ this morning? You know, there are many of us, you know, they are very good outside. But the time they come inside their home, everything changes. It may be anyone, all of us, including me. We are very good at church. We are very good at talking to people. We are very good at serving others. But the day we come inside our house, everything changes. We are a complete different person. But God wants you to know who you are. I'll come to that later point, what God's heart is for. The second crisis, one is like the crisis where we change ourselves, pretending something else. But there's a help which is needed. If it is not brought today, there would be a crisis which is waiting for us. The second one is You know, changing as per situations. You know, people change. We said, God does not change this morning. You know, we change as per situations. We change as per our needs. And maybe this question God is asking us today. Are you real to yourself? Do you change as per situation? Do you compromise your values as per situation? You know, we have Abraham. You know, whenever he was in trouble, he was ready to change himself. And he mended ways so that to find approval from others. And we know the story where he says that Sarah is not his wife. And he says, like, let's say that she is my sister. Maybe if we are in that position that we are changing as per situation, maybe you have to know that there is a crisis which God wants us to resolve it. If we are changing ourselves as per our situation, our decisions have been changed as per our situation, as per our circumstances, that means there is some problem in our life. We live a different life altogether, but we pretend that everything is good. And we change ourselves as per our needs. We are good people in the church, but we are worst in our workplaces. Because there we have to be worse. That is what the world teaches us. So there are serious issues. The crisis which we go through. Sometimes we want to pretend who we are not. Sometimes we want to change ourselves. Compromise with our values. And there is a crisis. And Christ looks at from the top and looks at us and asks, who are you in Christ? And that's a question which we need to ask every time we try to do this. If we try to change ourselves, who we are not, God is looking at the top and asking us, who are you in Christ? And the third thing is fear. What if I reveal my identity, who I am? What people will think about us, our family, if they know who I am? What will people will think about our marriage if people know who we are? What will people will think about our children, who they are? What people will think about all these things which I do at my workplace? So there is fear. And we just make all this as our lifestyle. We change as per situation. We put our mask as a different person in our church. And when we are outside, and we are very reluctant to share because we feel that people will judge me. Why this word this morning is, God is releasing this offer for help. We have to come to God and say, God, I need help. And my identity lies somewhere else, Lord. That is in you. But we try to build our own identity. We don't open up, we don't share because we fear. You know, this all three things which I shared this morning, it's all warning signs for us. Why this message today? God only knows. If this warning sign is becoming real to us, that means we have to set things right with God. We can make our life miserable if we don't overcome this morning. It's a time of decision because it has become our lifestyle. Knowingly, unknowingly, it has become our lifestyle. It has become of something we believe that it defines us. We are ready to change. We are ready to hide because it is part of our lifestyle. And we are very fearful of. And God brings this to us this morning, that our identity secures in Him and He's ready to intervene in the places of our life. You know, there is kind of a, it's like, you know, we can either go towards one side and or you can go to the other side. One side is when everything is good and, you know, everything defines you, you are all good. If everything has gone wrong in your life and you feel that you are the one. You know, I remember myself, like, you know, I used to kind of wear a t-shirt called, you know, which is, you know, I'm saying this is all very real, practical, which is knowing, unknowing, we define ourselves. You know, I had one t-shirt which was written as, I hate myself. And I used to wear that, I used to love that, to wear it and read that loud, that I hate myself. Because you have seen failures in life, you have seen setbacks in your life, and you have defined your lives. And the best part is, I love to wear during my birthday. I used to wear that t-shirt during my birthday where I used to feel, I hate myself. So knowingly, unknowingly, we define ourselves and we define our future. But it is God who defines our future. It's God who defines our identity. And that is where this morning, this call is, this message is all about. That it's all a warning sign. If you don't overcome it, you know, it can become a lifestyle for us. And you are living with it now, if it is not handled right away. So be real. Know who you are. Christ expects that genuineness from our life. You know, put a full stop, that it never becomes a lifestyle of yours. And ask for help. And how do I manage all this? You know, there are so many things which goes through in my life, which is real. But how do I manage? If I have failed, I have failed. Over the period of time, if I have failed, yes, I have failed. How do I manage it? So living in, this is what the fear aspect was. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about. Because of fear, he took that decision. And how do we define in this world where there is constant challenge to prove ourselves? Whether it is our workplace, whether it's our family, or whether it's in church. You know, we need to know that our identity comes from Christ alone. I don't have to pretend to make myself known. I don't have to change as per situations. I don't have to fear that what if people know. But I need to be assured that I live in the identity of Christ. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The old means not years before. The old means even yesterday. Even some blunders which we did in the morning or any time. The old has gone, the new has come. That is what our identity in Christ is. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, if we know this, that I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we don't have to define ourselves. People don't have to define ourselves, and we did not get that approval from them. But it is Christ who defines ourselves, and I live by faith my life because Christ loved me and gave himself for me. If with that identity, if we live, life will become easier for us. It will become more accessible for us. We don't have to be someone else. We don't want to be called by someone else. But we will live in the identity of Christ. So tell your neighbor that my identity will be in Christ going forth. Why going forth? We always make a blunder. We always make a blunder. We may have that identity, but because of situation, because of challenges, because of some situations, we just change ourselves. You know, you ask men what triggers you, they'll say when they drive. If something goes wrong, someone is here, there, that's it. Lower your window and that's gone. And it's there. And where we have been a loving person, we are a humble people. And that shows us the inner us which needs help, which needs revival, which needs, you know, which needs to be redeemed. And another thing which I felt God wants to bring to us this morning is this chapter of Judges, which is, you know, it's a story. I'll just mention that for us. It is about a Midian. You know, his name is Gideon, and the Midianites were so oppressive that whatever they used to plant, these people used to come and they used to take all these things from them. And they were very fearful. Okay, I'll just read it for us. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them in the hands of Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them, for their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian was so impoverished, the Israelites, that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of the Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of Amorites in the land you live, but you have not listened to me." So it's been for 7 years, the Lord has given the Israelites into the hands of Midianites. 7 years, it's a very long time. And now, whatever they used to plant, these people used to come and invade. And not one people, it is like thousands of people used to come and invade. So what these Israelites used to do, they used to hide themselves. Okay, they used to hide themselves, and whatever they are getting, they used to keep it, and they used to clean it. So what happened? Same time, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said that, you know, the Lord is with him. So to summarize, there is a man who is fearful for 7 years. And he sees that every year their hard work, whatever been done, has been taken away by someone else. And not only he sees that, he's also fearful of this vast army. And he hides his family, hides himself, and he does his work. But what does God say to Gideon is something amazing. In verse 12, Judges 6, verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." You know, Gideon defined himself. He was very fearful, and the entire community was hiding. And they defined themselves that this is the way it will work, or this is the way it is going to work. But God changes his identity from a fearful person and calls him a mighty warrior. God changes him from a person who has been fearful, hiding, and gives him another identity, that is to be a mighty warrior. 7 years living in fear. Not only everyone, he is also living in fear that they will come and take away everything. And a person who is fearful, God calls him one day and says, "Mighty warrior." You know, our setbacks does not define us. We may be fearful of, we may have been lost many things in life. We may have gone somewhere astray. It does not define us. What defines us is what Christ calls us. And what is our identity in Christ? God calls Gideon a mighty warrior. He was not a mighty warrior. If he was a mighty warrior, he may be outside fighting for his clan. But he was fearful. And God calls a fearful man, and to the entire fearful community. And he calls one man, he says, "Lord is with you, a mighty warrior." You know, God can change our identity. God can redefine our identity. What we are today, what we want to be today, tomorrow, God can change it. But the problem is, we define our identity many times. And we take people's identity as ourselves because we want to achieve that identity. But if we walk faithfully, God will change our identity. And he will bring that new identity even if we are incapable of. That is where the grace of Lord comes in picture in our life. So to a fearful man, for 7 years, God calls him mighty warrior. Just think, okay, 1 year he was fearful and the angel of the Lord comes and say, "Mighty warrior." Maybe God may have seen something in his heart, or like he was a mighty warrior. 7 years, it was a routine. So God can change our identity as well. We don't have to strive. If you believe, if we are moving in that direction where it has become a lifestyle, pretending who we are not, changing as per situation, theek hai, kuch nahi hai, chalta hai. Then there is a big problem. It has become our lifestyle. But when we take a step of faith, God does change our identity, which we may have not even thought of. And then comes Christ, and he says, he gives a new identity itself to everyone. And each one of us sitting here have a unique identity in Christ and an assured identity in Christ. You know, Christ says, you know, the identity which we have in Christ is that you are saved. You're not lost. You're saved. You know, John 3:16-17, it says, "For God so loved the world that gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him." So we are saved. Our identity in Christ is we are not lost people. We are not hopeless people. We are saved. We know where we are going. That is the identity which we need to have in our lives. That is the identity which Christ gives and assures us. And if you can just tell your neighbor that I am saved, that itself shows that I need and I desire that identity. Many times we define ourselves that we are lost, we don't have hope, but Christ defines us that you are saved and he assures us with that identity. Many times we strive to, you know, strive for love. We want love and assurance from our people, from our loved ones. Yes, it is good. And we try our best to get that. But what if we fail to get it? You feel you are so unloved. You feel lonely. And we feel that we are alone and no one loves us. But when we know that our identity is in Christ, we know that we are loved. We are saved. We are loved. Our families may not love us. Our church may not love us. Our bosses may not love us. But if I know my identity that Christ loves us, loves me, and that is the identity which I carry wherever I go. That you are loved. You are not forsaken. You know, many times we feel, why me? And why my family? But God says that you are loved. You are assured that you are loved. And God demonstrated that greatest love for us while we were still sinners. What does that mean? In midst of all our failures, in midst of all our disappointments, in midst of all our sinfulness, Christ says you are loved. If we are longing for love this morning, our identity in Christ is like, you are loved. Tell your neighbor that I am loved. You know, this all sentences, this all words is the Holy Spirit inspiring us to speak out in assurance that that is my identity. And no one can take that identity from me. Christ says that you are redeemed. You are redeemed. You have been purchased. In Ephesians 1:7 it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We are redeemed. We have been brought. No, someone, it's not like a free, we were just there, pulled out. No, we have been redeemed. We have been purchased with the blood of Christ. If we have been purchased, you know, you go and purchase, you have to, because you are valuable. If you want to go to purchase anything, you have to spend money because that has some value. Christ purchased us, redeemed us because we are, you know, precious in his sight. We are valuable in his sight and he redeemed us. If we are waiting for redemption, if we feel that, you know, when this redemption will come, when this change will come, be assured that Christ has already redeemed us. And he will redeem. As I said, look at the Gideons, you know, his life, what God calls him. His changes. If you are waiting for redemption, be assured in the identity of Christ that I am redeemed and my children are redeemed. My family is redeemed, even though you don't see that redemption. That is the assurance which we have when we have our identity in Christ. Christ says, your identity is that you are the child of mine. You are the child of mine. You are not just being there like an orphan. You are a child. And when I know that my identity, that Christ is my Father, then what else do we need in life? John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." We are the children of God. If you feel that you are an orphan, you have been treated like no one, any place, it can be any place, any situation. If you have been treated something like, you know, useless, Christ says you are a child of mine. And he has lavished his love on you. Why he has lavished his love on us? So that we all become his children. Tell your neighbor in assurance that I am a child of God. And we don't have to repeat this here, not only here, but it should become our lifestyle. It has to become our lifestyle. You need to know that you are saved. You need to know that I am redeemed. I need to know that I am loved. I need to know that I am a child of God. Lifestyle. Then you walk in confidence that we walk in the light and we know who we are. And we should know that we are forgiven. You know, in Psalms 103, it says, "As far as east from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." What is that so far? Limitless. We are forgiven. We have been made whole. We have been forgiven. You know, sometimes, you know, we had a series the entire last month about decisions. That our decisions, how important is our decision, and how decisions, you know, we need to know that we are forgiven. We are forgiven because of our sins. We are forgiven. Christ redeemed me. If we have taken any decisions which is not from God, he has forgiven us. And we need to walk in faith. Walk in faith. So far from the east, from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. So far it may be, how big it may be, he's willing to remove that transgressions from us. Forgiven. You know, he's ready to forgive. And many times in our life, one of the biggest challenges which we face in our lives is unforgiveness. We don't forgive us. Many times, or almost every time, to put it straightforward. And we are in that guilt. We are in that shame. We are in that condemnation. And we say, no, how can I do this? Why there was no wisdom? But God's plan is amazing. I remind again God, which said he can change that identity. How God changed that identity. There are many instances where God changed the name of people in the scriptures. He just changed their identity. Our God can change. So tell your neighbor, as far as the east is from the west, I am forgiven. Yes. We need to be assured the forgiveness which we have received on the cross and the forgiveness of the mistakes which we have done. We need to be assured. We need to know that we are precious. Who are we? Precious. You know, in Matthew 10:29 to 31, we all know this story where Jesus is saying this. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You know, we are precious in the sight of God. We are valuable in the sight of God. A problem arises where we see ourselves no value, or less value, or half value, where people define us, you know, and our appraisal defines us, our home defines us. But God says, you are precious to me. You are valuable to me. You are worthy in my sight. That is the identity which Christ gives us. And we walk in that identity. We will walk as someone precious in the sight of God. We will not be like anyone else, but we will walk in that confidence that we are precious and we are worthy. Tell your neighbor that I am precious in the sight of God. Yes. You know, Christ, in Christ, there is acceptance. And also we need to bring that acceptance to others as well. We have been accepted. We are not rejected. We have been accepted. You know, in Romans 15:7 says, accept one another, just Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Accept. We are accepted by God. We are not rejected by God. You know, if anything happens in our life, we say, God does not love me. We are rejected. He is not able to see me. I'm not precious in his sight. I don't know whether I'm saved. You know, all this question comes because there is a crisis of identity. When I know my identity lies in Christ, I know that I'm accepted. Even though everyone rejects me, I know that I am accepted. Because of Christ, we are accepted. Tell your neighbor that I am accepted because of Christ. You know, we are cleansed. We are cleansed. In 1 John 1:7 it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. We are cleansed. You know, it's a sanctification process which is happening in our lives. But we need to know that we are cleansed. It has been paid on the cross for all the wrong things which we have done. And we are cleansed. And we have the fellowship with God. We can tell our neighbor that I'm cleansed. And finally, you know, we have to tell to each other in one accord that we are victorious. You know, be thanked to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not failures. When we know that we are victorious, we would know how to handle our failures. You know, failures and setbacks are part and parcel of life. Jesus said, in this life, you will have troubles. But don't walk as a failure. Walk as victorious. Because Christ gave that victory on the cross for us. He redeemed us. He made us precious. He brought us. He saved us. He cleansed us. He accepted us. And you walk as victorious. Because in Christ, there is victory. You know, don't reject yourself. Don't ask that, what if I have done that, you know, today I would have been in a place of victory. No, God can change that identity of yours. You know, it is just a time, it's just a phase, but we need to walk victorious in Christ. Our setbacks doesn't define whether you have victory or, you know, whether we are victorious or whether we are failures. What defines is what Christ has done for me on the cross. That defines my victory. Then what I do here. So you are victorious. You are cleansed. You are accepted. You are precious. You are forgiven. You are a child of God. You are redeemed. You are loved. You are saved. And many other things which you can put. But we need to walk finally in that victory. The day we stop ourselves means we have given victory to someone else. With all which we have, we need to know who we are in Christ, rather than the crisis which we saw initially. You know, when Jesus came, you know, what was his identity? You know, he did not pretend who he was not. He did not fear of what people said to him. He did not change. Many people called him different names. Some said he is John the Baptist, who was just beheaded. He came back to life. Some said he is Elijah. Some said he is a prophet. Some said he is a teacher. Someone said he is a deceiver. Someone, he said, he is Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Some said he is fake. And that is the opinion which people had. And all this identity is given by the people whom we walk with in the journey of our life. It was all this opinion given to him. But that did not stop him to do what he did on the cross. He did not look at the people and said, they called me deceiver. He did not look at the people and he said, they told me that I am not saved. I am not Messiah. And he said, I am not going to die because of them. No, he knew who he was. His identity was secure in Christ. You know, these all are very powerful statements. Deceiver, you know, king of demons. And he's taking people to astray. All these words Jesus heard. But he did not change himself because he knew who he was. He was Emmanuel. He was Savior. He was Alpha and the Omega. He was the Creator. He was the Prince of Peace. He is the light of the world. He knew who he was. His identity was secured. You know, in Matthew 3:17 it says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love and whom I am well pleased. You know, Jesus knew his identity, who he was. And he did not allow that crisis, that change to come. But he was real of who he was. And this all things happened, you know, even before he started his ministry. Or even Jesus died on the cross. His father was fully pleased with his son, Jesus Christ. Even he began his ministry. Even he started his great miracle. Even before he was supposed to be on the cross. But his father was well pleased. And this morning, if we want to come out from that crisis, we need to know our father is well pleased with us. And if there is something which we are allowing others to define us, or if it is something which we are allowing ourselves to define ourselves, there's a great crisis. there would be an identity crisis which will come, where we will try to pretend, we will try to change ourselves, and we will allow that fear to grip because we don't want anyone to know our identity. But if we know that our God is well pleased with me, I will walk in victory. I walk in faith. I will walk in that love which God has assured me. I will know that he has redeemed me. I will know that he has saved me. Only when I know that we are well pleased. You know, all this, you know, Jesus, you know, this is the Father's testimony, God the Father's testimony for Jesus, that this is my Son whom I love and whom I am well pleased. When we know that we are secure in Christ, our identity lies only in Christ. You know, God calls us children. God calls us sons and daughters. God calls us that he loves us. Let us not strive to establish our identity. You know, the world is still figuring out what is each one's identity. Whether it is gender, whether it is skill set, whether it is technology, they're still figuring it out. But we know who we are and why we exist. And we should be secure with our identity. When we are secure with our identity, we are well pleased. And you know, God is well pleased, and there is freedom and security. You know, when we walk to our offices, we need to know that who we are a child of God. When we walk in our homes, we should know that who we are, our family is, God is our father for our family. When we go around alone, you know, traveling, we should know that who we are. We are not someone else. We have been brought, purchased, loved, saved, redeemed. We are precious. We are worthy. We are victorious. And that is what God calls us this morning. Let this crisis not take over us, or it will become our lifestyle, and then it will be too late. But if we allow our identity being identified by Christ, then there is victory. Can we all rise up this morning? You know,